Well, let me give you a visual that you may not want while you're enjoying your bagel this morning, and that is that most likely Wiggy is in a hospital Johnny right now. No back.
Yep.
And getting ready for his surgery. He says not a big procedure. He'll be back tomorrow morning with us. Ty Law is brought to you this morning by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of Pro Football Hall of Famer Ty Law, and by 110 Grill, gluten-free dining done right. Good morning, Ty.
Good morning, guys. How you doing, man? Sorry I couldn't make it in this morning, bro.
What's up with that?
Man, first of all, what is Wiggy going on? I didn't know about that. Is he okay?
Yeah. He's just having some sort of a thing done, like a jaw surgery, the jaw adjacent surgery thing.
It's
or
like
something.
A fat pad on his jaw.
Some jaw. He must have been talking too much and popped out of place. Huh?
I would say yes. Yes.
Yeah. Now, well, we're not getting up to, I'm a little under the weather myself, and I got to stay, you know, got a bug and it's bad. Oh. I got to stay as close to the bathroom as possible.
Oh boy.
Oh, no time.
I will stay here.
Wiggy would call that the
But
the,
I can talk though. I can talk.
The bubble guts, the squeaky deekies.
Yep.
That's a lot of Gatorade.
Yeah. Make sure that you hydrate.
Pedialyte.
So I want to start. There's a couple pieces of audio that we want to play for you this morning. I think that Gerard Mayo has a bit of an external quarterback controversy that is going on. I wonder, though, and I'm interested in your opinion on this, if he is about to have an internal quarterback controversy on his hands. Based on, this is Jacoby Brissett on the afternoon show here at WEEI yesterday, talking about how it is, I'll let him say it, but disrespectful to suggest that the reason Drake May is not the starter is because of a potential injury. Here's Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, it's like a lot of those people don't know me. A lot of those people, so therefore, like, I could not care less. But it's just more of like, why waste my time to like worry about those, the people that say those things? And I kind of just, you know, like I said, I just block it out.
So, I mean, at some point, as this lingers and you don't share with fans, and I don't know if he shared it internally or not, what the plan is, does that become an issue for Gerard Mayo?
I mean, you got to learn to block. I mean, Gerard knows that he has to block out, you know, the media. He has to block us all out because we're all going to have opinions, and that's what our job is. You know, fans want to know. But do you see what's going on with his offensive line? Do you see what Jacoby Brissett is going through?
Yes.
Do you really want to put your future on the line? And that's a hard decision you have to make. Even though we want to see him play, we want to see if he can change things. But I don't care who you are, if you don't have protection, you don't put your future, your third pick overall, out there to get beat up. You know, he can get hurt.
So
that's a fine line.
He's just going to sit all year then, Drake May?
No, I'm not saying sit him all. I'm not saying sit him all year. Eventually, we got to see if he can play. But it's still early in the season, and I think I've said it, you know, the beginning of the season. You got to give him, you know, 5, 6, 7 games to see what's going on. But they're going to be out of if they don't pick it up, they're going to be out of contention real soon. So you got to throw him in there and let him see if he can play and try to build around him. But right now, he will get plummeled. You see what's happening. So people are going to have to hold on, and he's trying to protect the future because Patriots ain't going nowhere right now from the way they're playing. They ain't going nowhere. I mean, and it's not just a quarterback position. So what are you going to do? It's about the future, your future returns. And if you put him out there right now, you risk injuries or risk messing him up to where he's not going to be able to pour another Mac Jones situation.
Ty, I just can't get over the fact that they allowed this team to come into this season with this offensive line. Like, I don't know how you rebuild if you don't have a line to build behind.
I totally agree. I didn't know that they were that bad on the offense or defensive line.
Right.
I mean, I think they were talking about in the beginning that they were going to, you know, have the money out there ready to pay people. You're going to have to pay to play nowadays. You know, free agents, that's what they looking for. I mean, so you got to, Mr. Kraft, you know, they got to open up the Brinks truck and bring some dogs up in there to protect your guys. You win football games in the trenches, and with their plan, how they're playing right now, guys, across the board. It ain't just the quarterback. It's not just the offensive line. Have you seen that many guys get behind the secondary? How many deep balls are you going to give up? Oh, my God. I mean, they need, that's what I'm pissed about. I mean, I've never been on the defense. Like, everyone gives up one every now and again, but you do not give it up like that consistently and let guys get behind your defense. That is absolutely crazy. You will never win like that.
Is that on the players, or you put that on?
Hell yeah. No, you can't put that on coaches. I always say you give the coaches hard times, but the coaches are not out there on the field. At some point, have some damn pride. Play ball. Compete. And when you're not competing, I thought that we had some, because remember that one play, that was the only highlight that I've seen that's worth talking about. So when we go on to the last part of the show, the key player, the apex, damn it, when he hit Brandon Ayuk, that was, man, I said, oh, that was early in the game. Oh, they ready to play now, because that's supposed to energize your defense. That's supposed to get everybody going. He knocked the hell out of Deebo Samuel. He knocked the hell out of Deebo Samuel when he came up there running that ball. So that's supposed to get everybody fired up. But what do? Go back to the same thing, missing tackles, letting guys get behind the defense. And it was just a poor performance, you know, across the board. And they're not protecting the quarterback. So, I mean, this is going to be a long season. And Jerod Mayo, he's going to have to make some tough calls. And eventually you're going to have to play May to see what he can do.
Ty, you do have to put some of it on the coaching, though, and Greg made a great point yesterday about Ramondre Stevenson, 4 fumbles in 4 games, and he brought up the fact that if Bill was still the coach, you wouldn't see him out there.
And I, as reluctant as I am, I got to agree with Greg, you know, because I would love to sit there and combat that, but you are 100% right, and that kind of stuff right there will get you fired. You know, he has so much talent, and Ramondre Stevenson, he's a great ball carrier, but if you're turning the ball over, there's no place for you in the rotation. Your team lose confidence in you. Your coach lose confidence in you. It's like a receiver dropping balls. You lose confidence. You know, he's not going to throw you the ball anymore. So, believe me, 4 in a row, you will be sitting next game. If it was Bill Belichick, you would not get an opportunity to play, because he's going to send a message to you and the rest of the team. So it's going to be interesting what Jerod does, because he's coming from Coach Belichick, and he knows that you can't turn the ball over 4 weeks in a row. Damn it, man, he's going to have his hat on the sideline.
Ty, you brought up Jerod Mayo.
And I ain't talking about helmet.
You mentioned Jerod Mayo. He's got some interesting work ahead of him. Yesterday, Devon Godchild was on the midday show, and he publicly was calling out his defensive players for what they were doing on the field.
Oh, well, I mean, we just all got to be on the same page, man. I mean, we got guys, you know, some guys just kind of being like kind of selfish, you know, because guys, I get it. We're down. Guys want to make plays. I get it. But, you know, everybody got to play. I'm talking about defense. Everybody has to play at 11.
There we go. Calling out players for being selfish and not doing their job on defense.
You know what? That's a problem. That is a problem to come out and say that, you know, publicly. But you got to hold guys accountable. You know what I mean? We try to keep everything, you know, at least in my experience, keep it in-house. But that means, I'm not never at a loss for words. But when I see defense play like that, then now you have, you know, players and coaches talking, you know, in the public with what's going on. That is the issue. And maybe he's trying to light a fire up under him, but
you don't
they got to do a rehaul.
You don't do that publicly, or certainly that didn't happen here. I mean, that was that for decades, that was all kept in-house.
Exactly. I mean, as it should be. But, you know, times are changing. It's hard to keep things in-house nowadays anyway. But when you go out there intentionally to put something out there to send a message, you know, you're actually sending the wrong message, even though, you know, there may be some good intentions behind it. But that is something that you can't do, and that divides the team. So I hope Coach Mayo, I know he's going to have a lot to say to those guys, you know, in the
when they get in there to those meetings to try to do some type of rebound. But it's looking bad across the board, and it's crumbling. You see it crumbling right now. You see the body language. It's no swagger out there. Where's the damn Patriots swagger? Even when we lost games, we still had some swagger. I don't see that, you know, right now. And I'm just going to tell the truth. It's going to be a lot of criticism. It's going to be a lot of Tuesdays where we're going to be having the same conversation, you know, for the rest of the season. They need to go ahead and get some free agents. Try to on the trade deadline. I mean, they need some more players and they need some help.
Ty Law always had swagger. I would imagine when running to the men's room this morning, you still have that swagger.
Hey, I still got that pimp walk in me, even though I'm rushing to get over there. But I tell you what, I mean, that is a part. Like we were talking about a team when we lost. We still had an aura about us that we were going to go out there and compete again. You're not going to win every play. You're not going to win every game. It's the way you go about it. How are you going to handle the adversity? All those things, you know, play into account of a winning team. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. I remember, you know, when we lost, three or four games and went to the Super Bowl. But we were a different team than what we're looking at right now. I can't say that they were the same type of team. Are they going to be able to rebound and do the same thing that we did? That's not going to happen with those guys. They need more player, more cohesion, more trust with one another. They need more talent. Let's put it like that. You in the NFL, that does not mean that you're talented enough to be a great team just because you got an NFL uniform.
But they now have Miami coming off a short week. They're banged up, coming off a loss. Is this a good time maybe that we see a win, and if things are going poorly, that they could throw Drake May in because it could be the safest option you have for a few weeks?
Absolutely. This is a great opportunity because you have a injured dolphin that they ain't swimming very well. You know, dolphins usually swim pretty fast, pretty smart, but they injured. So take advantage of it. You know what I mean? And, you know, in a fight, you kick a man when he's down. I mean, that's what you do in a fight. This is going to be a fight. So when they're down, unfortunately, you got to kick them. So when it comes to the Dolphins and we talk about the so-called rivalries, AFCs, this is a prime opportunity to take advantage and learn something because they're a team that you have to see again naturally because you play two games. You have to play them, but send a message right now. They're wounded. They are not playing good ball either. So if you lose to an injured, you know, wounded Dolphins team right now, what is that saying about your team?
All right, well,
if anybody can beat the Dolphins right now.
I think you addressed it. The most entertaining play of the game brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Experience the thrills at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. And you're going with what?
I'm going with whoever the hell, because whoever hit Deebo Samuel, and it sounded off. He ran up there like he was trying to hurt somebody. I thought that was the most entertaining play. It happened so fast. All I heard and I seen, I was like, oh my goodness, that's how you play defense. And that should have rallied the troops, but unfortunately it didn't. So that was the most entertaining play to me. You know,
Jabril Peppers.
I believe that was the Patriots resident hammer, Jabril Peppers.
Exactly. So, I mean, that was a play. But you think that would have lit the fire up under everybody when you have a guy go out there and make that type of contact on somebody like Deebo Samuel? What happened? Where was the energy at? He even had a great play in the end zone. So some of those guys are out there. They're out there giving an effort. And Peppers is one of them. You know what I mean? Even he stopped the touchdown for his hustle on the running back towards the end of the game. He kept playing. So I like what he's bringing to the table. He can play some plays better, of course, like we all can when we're out there. I think Christian Gonzalez, he has a high ceiling. He has a very high ceiling, but he has to be more consistent in his play. But everybody else, it's going to be an interesting offseason. It's going to show be some people that's going somewhere else or not being in the league if you keep playing like that.
Yeah,
Not for long. That's what the NFL stands for.
It's a long, painful period of time until we get there, unfortunately. All right, Ty Law, thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there's Ty Law every Tuesday on this show. I don't. What is this argument here on the text line? You guys are hilarious. This station in particular demanded for Bill to be fired.
Oh my God.
I did not.
I did not.
And now complains about the soft coaching. I was not asking for Bill to be fired. There may have been some that were. I was not, though.
He should have been fired. He was fired. And it's okay to also criticize his successor. Both are not the same thing. You can say, and you certainly did not call for him to be fired.
No.
But, I mean, this has been a fun thing on social media where people are like, you ran Bill out of town. Well, when the Patriots won, Bill was taking credit for all the players that were still here. And now that they're losing, he's saying how bad the roster is. The roster sucked. And that has to do with Robert Kraft not spending, okay, first. But, you know, the recent draft sucked, which is why Bill's not here.
Also, like, we ran Bill out of town. We didn't pick the successor. Like, I'm pretty sure Curtis especially wanted, like, Mike Vrabel.
I did.
Who would have brought a hard-ass approach to this and not a Jerod Mayo approach. So, of course we can criticize Jerod Mayo just because he's not Bill Belichick.
No, I think it's fair to criticize Bill. Curtis criticizes him, and rightly so, about the roster. I think it's fair to criticize Jerod Mayo, or at least to ask the question, would there be players that are currently on this defense calling out other guys for freelancing during a radio interview if Bill were the head coach? And I'm guessing that there probably would not be.
Didn't somebody call out Jamie Collins for freelancing? Was that the media, or was that a player or a coach? I forget. I just know he was freelancing.
I don't remember that. I just don't know. I just think it's, you give license to everybody to say what they want, feel the vibe is great, say what you want. If you're a guy who's disgruntled and you want to go on your social media and complain about it, then go ahead and do it. And there's no repercussion whatsoever. Then you get this kind of thing. That's the expectation, is the guys can say whatever they want.
And
you can decide whether that's a good or a bad thing.
And two things, Greg. One, I don't think Jerod Mayo will be the coach he is today, next year, and the year after. I think this is a learning curve for him. And secondly, the way in which the organization conducts itself, we said the second they had the presser and everybody loved Jerod Mayo. He can be nice, but the only thing that matters is if he wins. Bill wasn't happy most of the time, and he stayed here for a generation. It's all about, I mean, if this works, he'll be here for a while. If players take advantage of him, he'll be gone.
Yeah, I think it's, I hope you're right, but I think it also is hard to fire a guy that you have publicly said you anointed as your next head coach 5 years ago.
Yep.
And it's difficult to do that if you feel like you need to get rid of him. So I think he's here for a while.
Much longer leash once you say that.
All right, let's get to Courtney into what is trending.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Seahawks suffer their first loss of the season in Monday Night Football, the Lions taking them down 42-29. The other game last night, the Titans beating the Dolphins 31-12. And there's a lot of confusion going on in the world of the Boston Bruins. At a preseason news conference yesterday, team president Cam Neely said he believes Jeremy Swayman wants to play in Boston, but that it's unfortunate a deal isn't done yet. He went on to say this.
Well, I don't want to get into the weeds with what his ask is, but I know that I have 64 million reasons why I'd be playing right now.
Swayman's agent, Lewis Gross, then took to Instagram saying, normally I do not release statements or discuss negotiations through the media. However, in this case, I feel I need to defend my client. At today's press conference, $64 million was referenced. That was the first time that number was discussed in our negotiations. Prior to the press conference, no offer was made reaching that level. We are extremely disappointed. This was not fair to Jeremy. We will take a few days to discuss where we go from here. And some sad news in baseball, Pete Rose has died at the age of 83. And you've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. Four hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
And a solemn note, I just saw this. 1 year ago today, we lost Tim Wakefield. So what an amazing career he had, and still remembered this past summer at the Radio Telethon. 63 degrees, cloudy skies, afternoon high of 66.
Wiggy, correction on the Subaru of New England text line, if he is listening as he gets ready for surgery. It is, and Curtis, you knew this. You were too kind to say it while Wiggy was here. It's Tommy that is working on the docks. Not today because of the strike, but it's not Johnny who is working on the docks in the Bon Jovi song. It is Tommy that used to work on the docks.
If it's possible, I know less about Bon Jovi than Wiggy does.
Shoot. On a day like this, that's not correct, Wiggy.
I know. In this economy?
No.
I mean, are you kidding me?
He's very nervous. Like, I know that he said he was, but really sitting here with him today, and he talked about it a little bit with us yesterday, he is very scared to be put under.
Yeah, I'm amazed that he went through his whole NFL career and never had surgery. He's never had surgery before. So,
and I saw some people saying, you need to get a colonoscopy, Wiggy. What do you mean? And that's Twilight. That's much different than what he's going through today.
Right. No, he's having full anesthesia.
Yes.
He elects to not even go Twilight.
He never lets Twilight interfere with his day job, Curtis. You know that.
Wiggy, you're going to be fine, my friend.
Yes. This is Paul from Plymouth. Hello, Paul.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
Great. What's up?
So, I called a couple weeks ago complaining about the musical interludes, but I got to tip my hat to you. You really do play some great music, so I applaud the effort to diversify.
Thank you, sir.
But I'm really calling today. You're welcome. I'm really calling today to share some of my personal viewpoints. I'm a 60-year-old executive. I've worked for three Fortune 100 companies, a big mutual fund company, big medical health insurance company. And the reality of it is today is early in my career, I dictated what I wanted done. I told people, this is what you're going to do. This is when you're going to do it. This is how you're going to do it. But the years have changed. People have changed. Younger generations do not respond to that. So the collaborative process is a must if they're going to have success. Because in the business world, teams like Apple, like Google, the reason they're so successful is because they practice collaboration and healthy communication and transparency. And I think that's what we're seeing now with Mayo versus the Belichick, comparison.
Yeah.
You know, Belichick came up at a different time, and Mayo's cut from a different cloth. So thanks for letting me share my insight. Yeah. I appreciate that.
No, I know. Listen, it's a different approach. It may be necessary with today's player. I don't think anybody would look at any organization from the outside and say that it is a good thing, a positive thing, for a member of a team to be calling out other team members in a public forum. And so I think that would be an issue regardless of who the manager is. And hopefully that is something that Gerard Mayo will end up addressing.
In this example aside, I mean, we've seen this so far, whether it's the offseason or going into the regular season, where I'm sure there are moments where Gerard Mayo wishes he could have them back. Like, being too much of an open book has led them down a path where they've gotten in trouble for things. So, we've been saying it since the beginning. It starts with the top, and then it trickles down. So however Gerard Mayo handles himself, the players are going to as well.
But if we want to keep comparing it to Bill, you have to also remember what it was like dysfunction-wise last couple years with the Patriots. He wasn't even talking to the quarterback of his team. There was a clear divide between he and Robert Kraft.
Well, no, that was just because he hated Mac.
Right. So how would you allow yourself in a position like that to hate the most important player on the team a point where you don't talk to him?
Because he felt slighted by him. He was going
Isn't
elsewhere.
Isn't it the job of a manager to look past personal slights? Isn't it do your job? How is it doing your job if you don't talk to the quarterback?
Yeah, I just think that Bill, from what we've seen, I don't know him personally outside of when we've talked to him on this show, but I think he holds a chip. And Mac Jones, you know, made his bed.
Nobody's debating that. It's just you can't say that it was better when the guy wasn't even talking to the starting quarterback of the team.
I don't think it would have been that different.
We do it. We can get into this a little bit when it comes to some leftovers from They Said It. There are organizations in which a leader, a high-profile employee, criticizes the boss one day, and I'm referring to Aaron Rodgers, and immediately the next day, the boss goes out there and basically lies down in the prone position and says he was wrong. In the case of Robert Saleh, you want to play that audio from yesterday, Shime? All right.
No. Yesterday I was I was mentioning Operation. We're always going to push the envelope with Cadence, always. but with regards to Operation, you know, getting in and out of the huddle, getting to the line of scrimmage, the communication that's being had, we're those are all things that we can continue to look at and clean up. But from a Cadence standpoint, that's part of what makes us who we are, and we're going to continue to always push the envelope on that.
Sorry, Mr. Rogers. I'm sorry to bring up Cadence. You're spot on with your Cadence, Mr. Rogers.
I majored in emasculating in college. Like, I know it very well. I've been emasculated in the public airways for a long time. That is next level right there.
I mean,
unbelievable. Isn't this the same hard ass who was like, Aaron Rodgers was not an approved absence at training camp? Wow.
From a Cadence standpoint, that's part of what makes us who we are.
So, I mean, that relationship is not going to last, no. Right, Curtis?
Of course not.
That's why I think Wiggy might be right when he says that is a potential landing spot for Bill Belichick.
And I think Bill has a ton of respect for Aaron Rodgers. So if he were to come back, I'm still on the page of that he is not going back to coaching anytime soon or ever. But he loves Aaron Rodgers, so.
That would be awesome for our purposes.
Oh,
God, go to the Jets. Aaron Rodgers and Bill Belichick. They could do like their own Rogan podcast.
And doesn't Dante Scarnecchia's son work for the Jets?
He sure does, Courtney. Good point.
Remember when they tried to explain away what happened? Was that Monday Night Football?
No, that was against the Patriots on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yes, correct. It was Thursday Night Football when Aaron Rodgers was basically like, don't talk to me. Shut up. Yeah, I don't need to interact with you at all. If you watch them on the side, Boomer said this. Boomer alluded to this a little bit with us yesterday, and then later in the show, Boomer was talking about how he never sees those two interact on the sidelines.
Right.
It's not a happy marriage there.
No.
It's not. What else? Anything else, Shime? They said it wise?
Yeah, I had another one for you. This one was from the former president of the United States.
Oh, okay. On sports?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Donald Trump weighed in on the NFL, and needless to say, not a huge fan of the new kickoff.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what they're doing with the kickoff return in the NFL.
It's a mess.
And I don't want to get involved in controversy, of course, but it looks so bad. And I noticed they haven't done that in college, and they shouldn't do it. And I think the NFL should go back. I mean, maybe it's a little more dangerous. I doubt it's any more dangerous. It is, you know, it's football. I think they made a terrible mistake in doing that. But you look at this, they haven't. It was the first thing I was looking at. I said, have they done it? They haven't. It looks so strange. And you don't take something that's working and change it. But this is really big time football, and it's great to see.
Wow. Mm. He was handing out hot dogs at that game, right?
He was.
Very nice. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
That was amazing.
Well, was he just throwing, was he slinging glizzies to the crowd?
Yeah.
There will never be a better video than after one of the hurricanes where he was throwing the paper towel rolls.
Well, I mean, it's better that he is eating hot dogs than something else. You know what I mean?
In Springfield, they're eating dogs. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
People of Springfield, please don't eat my cats. Why would you do that? Eat something else. Springfield, please don't eat my dog. Here's a catalog of other things to eat.
They're eating the dogs.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're eating the cats.
Meow, 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 meow.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're eating the cats.
Meow, 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 meow.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs.
All right.
I never realized the meow part. That was underrated.
So good.
I like the plea to the people of Springfield.
Yeah.
from the singer of that song. Yeah. All right.
I have to say my favorite thing, because we are truly at the end of times, that we are choosing between that guy and Kamala. Did you see the photo that they posted where she's like, I'm in touch with FEMA on the ground, and her phone is placed on the table in front of her.
Yes.
She's wearing headphones, and they're not plugged into the phone.
No.
Are they not AirPods?
No.
Oh, God.
There's a wire.
No.
And it's like... Of all the things, there's something unsettling when the people at the highest levels of government okay that tweet and nobody catches it. Like, meanwhile, in Israel, the Mossad is, like, infiltrating Hezbollah's inner circle to the point where they know exactly where they're going to be, what they're going to do before they do it.
Yeah.
And the next president of the United States, potentially, is trying to act like she's talking to someone on the ground without her phone plugged in.
Well, maybe, and I know some have had issues with this in the past when we've discussed it on this show, but maybe Kamala Harris is a speakerphone in public person.
But then why would you have the headphone in? You can see it on Twitch right now.
She forgot it there.
Like, how does nobody say, wait, Madam Vice President, that's not a tweet we want to post?
You can't really see the
yeah,
wire.
You'd be able to see the wire.
And she only has one earphone in. The other one's open, so it could be on speakerphone.
All right, we have got to take a break, but we will be right back. Earlier this morning on this show, a direct shot fired at the man who is in the studio with us right now.
What
Rich,
happened,
Rich Keefe? You weren't listening.
What's going on? I listened to quite a bit of the show. I missed the shots fired.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. You're a big pumpkin beer guy.
I certainly am. I'm a pumpkin everything guy.
It seems like every day
on your
social, you are imbibing when it comes to the flavor of pumpkin pumpkin experience,
yes.
And Shime said he can't stand it. There's no good pumpkin product available
How
out there.
Dare
ever,
you,
anywhere.
Shime. Pumpkin donuts, pumpkin muffins, pumpkin roll,
pumpkin ice cream.
Right. I had a pumpkin frap the other day. It was delicious. Pumpkin beers.
Pumpkin frap doesn't really do it for me. Everything else sounds delicious,
okay, pumpkin spice latte?
Yeah,
hard pass. All of those
Shime's
things.
Shime's a hater. Shime.
Pumpkin beer, you don't like a shipyard?
No. I don't like any
Maybe your taste
beers.
Buds have changed with the weight loss or something.
I tried. No. No. Still no.
Are you a big Lana Del Rey guy?
I am a huge Lana Del Rey guy.
Really? She got married?
Yeah, to some crocodile hunter. I was like, what the hell?
Yes, in Louisiana. And I believe Taylor Swift was there, hence why she wasn't at the game.
Really?
Didn't want to bring that up earlier, but...
Why do you say that derisively over a guy, the crocodile hunter?
I'm just a little peeved. I feel like right place, right time. It's I could be Mr. Del Rey.
I mean, she's probably looking for somebody who can, should things go bad, who can protect her.
I'd just stay away from the alligators.
I mean, radio host crocodile
Keith has
hunter.
A sword.
I do have a sword.
You do.
So.
But you only use it on fruit.
So far, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so mostly fruit. That
didn't
fair.
You cut a fish once with it?
I did, actually. I cut a fish. Uh-huh. Yeah. Fish came flying at me, sliced that thing in half.
Wow.
So that's true.
Yeah. Well, listen, you, of course, famously had a scoop when it came to Jeremy Swaymus.
Several scoops.
Looking for $10 million. It seems like you're spot on with that.
Kind of.
And did things get worse yesterday when Cam Neely spoke?
I would imagine they did.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay.
I mean, you could see the response from the agent. So, I mean, he's pissed. So now, as a fan, you're like, all right, one of them's lying. Right, like one of them has to be lying. So
or do you think the agent's just not communicating correctly?
That could be possible because he is definitely the Drew Rosenhaus, Scott Boras of the NHL, getting the most for his guys. And he's had a couple of really good players in the past wait, and then just go to him and be like, I want a deal. I want to play. And I don't know if that's going to happen with Swayman or not. Because I do think 8 for 8 is very fair for Swayman.
I think so.
That's a really good deal.
Makes him like the, you know, like
fifth,
the
or, fifth or sixth average annual. Pretty good.
Sixth highest goaltender in the NHL.
That's
I think
not bad.
He should.
Third highest paid player on the team.
And they seem to agree on the length. Why doesn't Jeremy Swayman just take a shorter deal? Like, take a 4-year deal and gamble on yourself in that way.
I don't know. But I heard you say that you thought Cam Neely was just doing that for the fans. I think that was more of a...
For a message to Jeremy Swayman.
But also, like, I guess for the fans to take their side and to blame Swayman. That's what's happening right now.
Curtis and I have disagreed on this all morning.
Yeah.
I think that they, Don Sweeney particularly, and then Cam Neely, felt like the agent had taken this public and was being disingenuous about the offer.
You don't hear GMs or presidents say the money.
No, you never do.
Ever, right? I think Sweeney that whole time was trying to play it like, all right, let's make sure we're... And where Cam Neely came in hot. Cam Neely was mad right out of the chute. They were asking him, they're like, hey, were you surprised by his ask? And Don Sweeney's like, players ask what they want. And then Sweeney or Neely's like, I was. He's like, I'll answer that. You're like, oh, my God. he was running real hot. So I don't know. Now, I mean, now I think it's possible that he never plays again for the Bruins. Like, don't you think? Like, a trade would have to be on the table?
I guess. Definitely. If he's that pissed off, I mean,
he's steaming. They're both steaming.
Oh, okay. But, well, listen, if he agrees to the $8 million, the Bruins are going to take him back. So, I don't you think?
Can the Bruins go above the $8 million following Cam's press conference?
Goof. I don't know. He's kind of putting it out there. Like, that's what it is.
I feel like that's last and final.
Yeah, you make yourself look soft if you go above eight at this point.
I'm always nervous when they go back to the manager and they have the envelope. Why do they always write the offer down? Is that like
it's taboo to say it?
Here it is. If you
slide
want that
across the table.
Yep. Don't look.
Put it on a napkin.
Yeah. Like, you can't leave the house.
Not bad. All right. And then you guys have New England Patriots on your show calling other guys out.
How about that?
Yesterday, so
out of nowhere. Those guys usually give us great stuff. Yeah, they have. But yeah, that was like right off the rip. Like he was like waiting to say that to somebody.
Wow.
Calling out the guys for being selfish. You're like, oh boy. Wow. Four games into the season.
All right. Well, what are you doing today?
We're going to do a little bit of both. We're going to start with the latest on Swayman because we had the Neely stuff yesterday. We didn't have the response from the agent. Our buddy Andrew Raycroft will join us at 11.
Ooh. Love him.
Get his take on all this. He was one of the first to put out on Twitter. I saw he goes, is that fair for Neely to put that out there? So we'll get his perspective. And then it's a Tom E. Tuesday, so we'll get Curran's take on the Patriots coming up at noon.
Right.
So that's a full show for you
Robert
there.
Robert Kraft's take on the Patriots. Well, from
however you want to read it.
From Tom E. Curran. Yes. Excellent. Okay. We're friends.
Yeah. Good
buds. You did say the other day that Phil Perry is on one side and Tommy Curran is on another.
All right. Well, we got to go. It's been great. Good luck to Wiggy. What time did he say surgery?
10:45 start time.
T's and P's.
It's got to be a quick surgery.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
They just suck that right out.
We are back tomorrow. Save that. We are.
Unbelievable.
We are back tomorrow morning at 6. Jones and Keith are next. Thank you for your patronage.